Into the Blender, episode 27.
Don't interrupt Hank. He has to finish. To End of the Blender with your hosts, Chooch and Viv.
You can hear us each week discussing topics ranging from co-parenting a blended family to gaming to technology news.
And whatever else catches our fancy this week. You're listening to End of the Blender, episode 27. This is Viv.
This is Chooch.
And I can't stop laughing.
Why?
You're going to have to put it at the end of the episode. Too hard to explain. So, how are you doing, honey?
I'm doing good. Hyped up on caffeine?
Rock. Whoa. Ooh.
Still coming off some Chinese food?
My phone's about to die. I need to plug it in.
Need to stop looking at it and texting.
Sweetie, Kath texted me to say they were on their way.
Aww.
And so I went and said, okay, drive safe. By the way, here's our home number in case you don't have it. So we were just going back and forth about details of the fact that they're getting in the car at 10:30 to drive 4 hours to come visit us. So I'm allowed to watch my phone when we have people on the road.
So they're late.
Well, I didn't think they were going to leave until 10.
Just kidding.
At the earliest. And to be honest, I kind of expected them to stop and watch BSG too. So, yeah, we have guests coming. Yeah.
Yay,
Biscuit and Kath are coming to visit. They were not able to come right after Christmas like we had planned. So, We've been trying to figure out, you know, when they could come again. And LT actually said, oh, come for my birthday weekend. And, of course, they couldn't turn that down, which means we're going to have to scale back the grown-up time with apple cocktails. Biscuit gets mad if I call it an apple teeny, but they taste like apple candy. So that's what I should call them, apple candies. So we're going to be low key, But it's still going to be a blast. We always have fun.
Yeah.
So it'll be awesome. Yeah. It's been busy. We've had a little.
Did you say that every episode?
It always is. I cannot wait for the day that we go, oh, hey, everybody. It's just been so lazy days and relaxed. You guys, when you hear that, you'll know that we have reached Nirvana. I don't mean the band. So you wanted to actually talk about something that happened to...
Yeah, actually, something was actually in December.
Yeah.
A few times on the show, I've mentioned a friend that I used to work with named Terry, who had a liver transplant.
Yes.
And so we talked about the ups and downs. Now, you know, it took a long time. And
right. And he had finally, to wait for so long.
Yeah. Where ironically, he kept getting too healthy and getting kicked off the liver donation list.
Yeah.
Nope, sorry, you're too healthy. You can't have a new liver.
Yeah.
Oh, but if something goes wrong, you're going to die. So you need one. But yeah. And so he had the transplant a couple of years ago, and it went awesome. And everything related to that had always gone really well. He had some of the minor complications that there were ready for that all seemed to always happen, you know, minor infections or, you know, minor rejection or something like that. Yeah. But came over it and got really healthy, went back to work. Everything was good. And he started having some new pains.
But he was having a great time. He was healthier than he'd felt in a long time and was doing a lot of stuff.
Healthier than he had been in 10 years. Yeah. And so he was having these pains and goes in to the doctor and doing some new diagnosis, trying to figure out what it was. And he went in and out of the hospital like 2 or 3 times. He'd go in and stay in for a couple days. And they'd test a whole bunch of stuff, and they weren't quite sure what it was. And then he'd come home, and that went on and off for about 3 weeks. And then he finally goes in again and they diagnose him with pancreatic cancer. And about a week after he was diagnosed, he passed away.
Yeah. And they told them that it would be that fast.
Yeah.
That it was so fierce.
Right. From the time he had pains to when he passed was about a month.
Yeah.
And it was only a week. They gave him, you know, they discovered it and said, yeah, you got about a week. It's really advanced and there's nothing that can be done. So his son,
who graduated last year from high school.
Mm-hmm. The son's like 18,
mm-hmm.
and his wife, it's like they had these years of he could die
mm-hmm.
any minute.
Yeah.
It, while he was on that waiting list before he got the liver, if he had complications, if something went south a little bit, he would be dead within a few days.
Yeah.
Until he finally had the liver, and it's like after all these years of struggle, he made it.
Yeah.
He made it over the hill.
Yeah. Health.
And yeah, and so they were supposed to have the next 10, 20 years.
At least.
And he's gone.
With little to no warning.
And, yeah.
And when you say a week, when he was diagnosed and he passed a week later, it wasn't even like, you know, bebopping around doing his thing for a week and then he passed away. It was, right. They went, they did the funeral arrangements. They did what they needed to do for the business of him passing. And then he was on palliative care.
He was in the hospital. He was in hospice last week.
Right. Yeah. Drugged up from the pain.
Yeah.
That's what palliative.
The last 2 days. Yeah. He wasn't coherent.
Yeah.
He wasn't really conscious. Cause yeah, he was pumped up with pain stuff. So, yeah, I was talking to his wife. It was at the beginning of December, and she had said they had like a week before that, or 2 weeks before that, they had just signed all the Christmas cards.
Yeah.
And she was like, I don't know. What's the etiquette? Do I send them? I'm like,
Please do.
We'd love to have it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, you know, everybody would like to see it.
Yep. We hung it up with the other ones. It was a very poignant one to have.
Mm-hmm.
It was very sad. I don't think I ever met him face to face. I talked to him on the phone a few times because I actually did support your office and therefore mm-hmm. him when I was working at the same place you still work.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I can say that I loved about him was the way that they opened up their hearts and their home to you
mm-hmm.
when your marriage fell apart, when you were living yeah. out there, and they would invite you over to Thanksgiving and they would make sure that you had a place to go mm-hmm. and that you were welcome. And I think that that says a lot about them right there. You know,
yeah.
They could have just said, oh, that's a shame, and gone about and done their thing, but they really did reach out to you.
Mm-hmm.
Which was really cool.
Yeah. One of the other bummers is one of their favorite things in the world was Disney. They were Disney crazy.
Oh, God.
Every couple of years they yeah. went to Disney World or Disneyland. And they have this huge collection of Disney ornaments. And they had been planning a trip to Disney World.
Yeah.
And the week that his last week that he spent in the hospital, that was the week they were supposed to be at Disney World. He had been talking about that trip a year ago. We were talking about Aww. It. They had just bought the tickets and bought everything to get ready to go for it. Yeah.
You're killing me, babe.
I just remember that.
I mean, like I told you before, the only blessing in that is that at least they weren't there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he took that terrible turn for the mm-hmm. worse. They were, you know, he was where he needed to be
mm-hmm.
to get things settled so that he could be at peace with leaving the family the way he was leaving the family.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the irony of that is I'm just choking on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But he's a beautiful spirit, and there's absolutely no doubt that he and his wife and his son absolutely adored each other, and they all knew it. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, there's a lot to be said for that.
Over the course of the pre-liver transplant, and just after the transplant, because there was such a huge risk of rejection and all that, you know, they had... Since that took years,
yeah.
You know, they had a lot of time together, a lot of serious heart-to-heart talks, a lot of, you know, important father-son discussions, and they had all that time together.
Yeah.
And it's hard because, you know, it came so sudden. they had the...
They were relaxed. Yeah, they had their miracle relaxed. And they were enjoying life.
Right, they were back to living. So it was hard because it did end up happening so fast right there. But at least they had that time before that.
And I'm sure that, you know, I know speaking for our brief, we didn't go through it nearly as long as his family did, you know, with mom being sick, mm-hmm. that you don't waste your time on the BS.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, we could fight about this, but you know, I might lose you at any moment. And mm-hmm. I know I might. I mean, we all might lose each other at any moment.
Yeah.
I could be in a car accident, you know, anything could happen at any time. That mm-hmm. is always like possible. But when you have someone that is sick, it's more real, it's more tangible. Yeah. And I think that that's when you have less time for the BS.
Yeah.
And so that's, I mean, it's not that I think it's great that he was sick for all those years, right. But it definitely, they didn't have to filter through any garbage, mm-hmm. you know, it was just love and support. And some people go their whole lives and don't get a year of that, let alone, you know, a lifetime of that and raising a son in that. So,
yeah,
I just wish I, so yeah, that was something that. That's been going on kind of in the background of everything else going on. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's up there in my mind. I know a lot of people would not agree, but he's up there with mom and they're going, what the hell are they so upset about? Look at me. I'm flying around. I'm happy. Whatever. I don't hurt anymore, you know, and he can look out over everybody, which is awesome. But
yeah.
It just sucks for all of us down here trying to sort it all out.
Oh, and in this last week, we got a letter.
Yeah.
He had written a letter.
Yeah.
The moment they found out.
Right.
About the cancer, he had gone to, he had a discussion with his lawyer.
Yeah.
And he basically wrote a little goodbye letter.
Yeah.
to friends.
Yep.
And his wife had held on to it. She actually didn't know about it.
Yeah.
Until like a week ago.
Yeah.
And mailed it out to everybody.
Yeah.
So that was cool getting that where he kind of said his goodbyes and
yeah.
Wanted everybody to.
Yeah. He had wanted it read at the service,
mm-hmm.
but she didn't find out about it until after the service.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until like you said, a week ago. Yeah. So that wasn't possible, but she got it out to everybody, so yeah. And to more people because we weren't able to go to the service. Mm-hmm. This is across the country, so
yeah. That was a cool letter.
Yeah, made me wish even more that I'd gotten to meet him. But yeah, so that's something, you know, that was going on, like I said, and kind of makes it so you try to see family more, even family you don't maybe get along with so great, and just try to come together because life is short, people.
Yeah.
And then, well, the other thing that happened recently, well, we didn't find out about it until Christmas night, Christmas day in the evening. We had spent the day, and it wasn't anything that I wanted to talk about, but since we're kind of you know, clearing out the cobwebs or whatever, the pain. Mm-hmm. Christmas night, after spending the day with, we went to my dad's house and spent the day with family and all that mm-hmm. stuff. And we had actually given a gift to my brother and his wife.
Yeah.
Who are the parents of the niece that had the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And the health problems that were there. And also the parents of the nephew that has Crohn's.
Yeah.
It's been a horrible year for them.
Yeah, really
in and out of hospitals.
Year.
And she can't work because she's, you know, taking care of the baby or taking care of the nephew. And so they're stressed financially. And so we decided to do a date night for them. So mm-hmm. we got them movie tickets right. and a gift certificate to Carrabba's.
Mm-hmm.
Enough to cover drinks, dinner, dessert, really enjoy themselves and just go out on a date.
Mm-hmm.
And they were looking at us awkwardly and, you know, thanking us. And I was thinking, maybe they don't like Carrabba's. Who the hell doesn't like Carrabba's? But it's
good
possible.
For Outback too.
I know. And I kept saying, but they have Bluebell ice cream. Bluebell ice cream, which anybody from the South will know that that's a very big deal. And, you know, I told Juju, I said, well, I guess on the way, I was like, maybe they don't like the recipe. We can offer to take it back and get them a gift certificate for somewhere else. You know, I don't want them to go somewhere they don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my brother came by that night when he was dropping the boys off and told us that they're separating.
Yeah.
And that's what the awkwardness was, that we had just spent all this money on them to go out and they're separating. And they didn't know, they hadn't told anybody in the family.
Mm-hmm.
They hadn't even told their boys yet. You know, they had told the older girls they're over 18 and they need to, you know, figure out what they're going to do. But they hadn't told my dad or my sister or anybody. I don't even know if I'm supposed to say when I found out, but, you know, I don't pull any punches here. If I'm going to talk about it, I'm going to tell the truth. And I think literally the only reason that we found out that night was because of what we got them. They felt so guilty and,
yeah.
you know, for whatever reason. And so... Yeah, we've been dealing with that in the background and waiting for them to tell the boys so that we could tell our boys so that they could be ready to support them again.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same brother my only brother that separated last year
yeah.
and reunited. And it just, you know, they're not happy and it's not working out. So
yeah.
my brother's staying in the house this time. Last time he moved out and she stayed in the house with the kids. This time she's moved out and moved in with a friend. And my brother's staying in the house with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And
with all the kids.
With all the kids.
And they are another big blended family.
Yep.
She had two daughters from a previous marriage. And
yep.
then they had two sons together.
Yep.
And then one of the daughters, of course, has a baby.
Yep. That she's not with the father. So mm-hmm. there you've got that whole dynamic of, you know, as she calls it, baby daddy. That whole dynamic. And from knowing my brother and not being in the room, but guessing, you know, the girls are still living there. They're not his birth children. They're both over 18. They're both adults, but they're still living there. Those are his daughters. He's not yeah. going to kick them out.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, I mean, since the ages of 2 and 4, and now
yeah.
they're, you know, 18, almost 19 and almost 21. He's not going to kick them out.
Mm-hmm.
Those are his girls. So yeah. they're staying in the house. The boys are still attending the same school, same friends and all that stuff. And it's just less than a month old that we found out. And it's just a big wrenching change. We've had the boys out a couple times since then. And our boys, of course, are right there. If they want to talk about it, they'll talk about it. And if they don't, they'll just keep on playing. So, you know, it's kind of the same thing that we did last time when my brother and his wife split, which is this is a safe place for them. They don't have to think about it. They don't have to worry about it unless they choose to.
Mm-hmm.
They come, they play, they hang out, they game.
Yeah.
That's it.
Doesn't matter if our kids are here or if mm-mm. they're away with their dad. This is still someplace they can come.
And exactly.
Have and the quiet part of the world. And
right. Where they're, and we don't have any little kids. And a lot of their other family friends... and family have little kids, and there's no little kids here. The youngest one is, you know, almost 12. So
mm-hmm.
it's a pretty peaceful place to come. And so the thing that we need to, I want to stress to GK,
mm-hmm.
which is their older son. He's about to turn 16 this year. And he's the one that's so close to M.
Mm-hmm.
They're just best friends since little kids. Is that, yes, M is... you know, possibly going to go away to college. We're still working that out. Details. But if M does go away, GK's still welcome here.
Yeah.
And he knew that from when M lived in another state with his mm-hmm. dad, as he would yeah. still come over even though M wasn't here.
Yeah.
So he knows that, but I just want to reinforce that. Yes, you're almost 16, you're going to be 17, whatever. If you need a place to come chill here. It's mm-hmm. cool. I really look at those kids, all four of them, like they've been in my life for almost 2 decades.
Mm-hmm.
The older ones, at least. And so they're like my kids. I know they're not my biological children. I know that mm-hmm. it's different. There is a different bond with, you know, our boys. But it's like they're my kids. I yeah. love them that much. And so it's just a process that's wrenching and hard. And it breaks my heart.
Yeah.
So.
And this breakup's really different than the last one.
At
least for your brother, it is.
It is. And I think that the reason that, well, I don't want to get into specifics, but it's definitely has a sense of more permanence to me than mm-hmm. at this point last time.
Yeah.
So it's pretty clear that it's going to continue. They have both said no more.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see the look in my brother's eyes like I saw last time.
Right.
Where he was sad and hurt and not hopeful, but more wanting. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see that in his eyes. At this point, I see, okay, next, move right. on. And I don't mean next like the next woman. I mean, right. because Lord, people, he has no time. It's just, I mean, I need to, I actually fixed dinner for them. Mm-hmm. And he came by and picked it up because he passes nearby when he goes home from his work. And I need to do that at least once a week because he is absolutely working nonstop. Yeah. He works all day. He's got like a 3-hour commute, comes home, he's cooking. Actually the older daughter's helping out a lot, but you know, he's nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
And so he needs, So that's going on. They seem to be adjusting okay as it can be. And it just, mm-hmm. And the other thing is he was kind of nervous. He told us about it and said, you know, well, is it okay if she comes and picks the boys up? And I'm like, well, of course. Well, I just don't want it to be awkward. And I'm like, I looked at him and I said, you know, I'm not like my sister. I'm not like my dad. I've been down this road.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. I've done the awkward pickup and transfer of children. And it doesn't faze me in the least. I can be as everything accommodating, civil, courteous, affectionate, all of those things, because I still love her. She and I became very close this year. Mm-hmm. And it's like I told you, I was literally heartbroken over the breakup.
Yeah.
It was, and that's why I tweeted about it, but I couldn't vocalize about it. It's one thing to tweet.
Right.
It's to talk about it. It was a lot harder.
Mm-hmm.
And as close as we got this year, I went through a lot, not just greedy me and, oh, it's all about me, but just sadness for the boys. And they've been through so much in the last year, and mm-hmm. the girls, and it just was heartbreaking. And so it's the first time I'm really able to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so being non-confrontational, you know, like, I don't know how my dad or my sister would be. I'm sure they would be good in front of the boys, but I just remember when I was going through my separation and all that stuff, my family was pretty passionately, they had very strong opinions. And mm-hmm. I ensured that there wasn't any interaction immediately because I didn't want it to escalate into anything with mm-hmm. my ex and his family.
Right.
My family sometimes can be kind of hot tempered. And for me, it's always about the kids. I would never do anything that would hurt the kids. Ever.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we did the pickup and it was just fine. And so that's where being in a blended family actually benefited somebody. It wasn't like, okay, no, you have to come pick up the boys and then take them to her. She was able to just come and get them without, and he knew he didn't, he asked if it was okay, but he knew it would be okay because we've been through it.
Yeah. Yeah. That just made me remember, it's not related, but in my head, connected dots for some reason. When I was out for my early Christmas visit, my plan was Jay and I had gone to my sister's and we were going to hang out and visit them for a while and then head back to my mom's and stay with my mom.
Right.
And my niece, my great niece's daughter.
You old fart.
Really wanted us to stay the night there.
Right.
And she actually had Jay come ask me and he was like, can we stay here? It's like, oh no, we're already set to go back to grandma's. Yeah. They were really bummed.
Yeah.
And my sister had said, well, you know, we'll talk to Jay's mom and you know, we'll get you guys together and maybe he can come back here and do a sleepover.
Yeah.
We'll do something, you know, we'll work something out. And so I had just found out that actually last weekend they did.
Oh, cool.
So my ex had talked to my sister and they had my great niece come over to their place. And so she stayed over at Jay's house.
Cool.
With him and his sister. And so they got to just play and have a really good time. And then so they'd stayed the night and then met my mom the next morning and had a breakfast. So she had breakfast with, you know, some of the grandkids and great grandkids. And so they had a great time. It was cool.
That's awesome. It's all about the kids, man.
Yeah.
I swear half the problems I think that go on, if people would just remember that a little bit more, because we forget it too. We get caught up in stuff.
Yeah.
But it's all about the kids. You have the kids. It's not about you anymore. It's about them. And you've got to try and keep your garbage that you're going through, all your baggage and everything like that, to yourself and not let it touch them as much as you can keep it from touching them.
And they know, you know, they have these different relationships in these different contexts. They're like, well, okay, so I see my dad and this family and everybody loves each other. And then I'm in this context. I'm with my mom and them and they loves each other and sees each other. And to be able to blend that and be able to cross the boundaries and have fun together. I think it's really good for the kids to see that, you know, that there are still connections.
Yeah. I talk about the connections with M and LT with, you know, their dad's family. It's not as intertwined as your family does. Your family has pulled it off impeccably. I have not been able to swing that with my ex's family to the success that your family has. And it bothers me, but I also have to say at some point that there's only so much that I can affect in this world.
Oh, yeah.
That I continue to try. And I will continue to try as long as it benefits the boys. And if I have to stand there and look like an idiot with a big goofy grin on my face and a big plate full of cookies, then I'll do it for the benefit of the kids. And I wish that I was getting reciprocal, but I'm not. And that's okay. I'm going to keep trying and the boys will just move on, you know?
Yeah.
If you can make those things work, it's a beautiful gift to your children. And if you can't, then just keep trying because maybe it will pay off eventually. Crossing my fingers for someday. So, you know, there's only so much control that you can exert, and then you just have to pick up and move on. Yeah.
You know, people always ask me why I don't do more promos for the Shaunaki. And the answer is, I'm not too sure how to describe it. At times, it's like This American Life. At other times, it's really not. But it's always a good story, and it never wastes your time. At worst, it makes you laugh, and at its best, well, at its best, I hope it expands your experience of being alive. Yeah, that really narrows it down, doesn't it? So you see why I don't do promos. So instead of a promo, I'll just do a 30-second episode titled Rusty Bender. The Tin Man goes out drinking with the Scarecrow, wakes up in a cornfield covered in dew. And he realizes the reason the Scarecrow always drinks him under the table is that his belly is filled with straw. Alcohol-soaked straw. So he creaks off in search of a match. Gonna show that Scarecrow. For more stories like these, but longer, visit theshanaki.com. That's SEANACHAI.com. And that's the other reason I don't do promos. I don't like admitting I named my podcast something no one knows how to spell.
Wow, we've had... still waters run deep, guys. We've had quite the month. We've had some problems with LT's grades.
Yeah.
So I've... Luckily, this came up while I've been between jobs, and it's good that it's happening now because it's an extra 2 or 3 hours a day. You know, he comes home and I actually have to go over each and everything with him. Each and every problem on each and every assignment.
Yeah. He hasn't been turning things in.
He's been socializing too much. Go figure. He's a chatterbox. I don't know where he gets it from. I know I've told you this story. Oh my gosh. When I was a little girl and we had like this countertop, kind of like a bar style. And I had to be below 9 because it was before we moved out of this one house. So I was 8 or below. And my mom told me she came in from work and she was really tired working all day, you know, and she's in there and she's cooking dinner and she's stressed and tired. She just wants to put her feet up. And I'm just like, talking nonstop. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, mommy. And she finally, you know, she was like, okay, that's, oh, that's nice. Yes. And then she finally says, stop talking. And she said, I'll never forget the look on your face. You got this pain, horrible, horrified look on your face. You're just like I had broken your heart and you dropped down out of eyesight level underneath the counter. Uh-huh. And she said, I'm thinking to myself, I am the worst parent in the world. All she wants is a little attention from me and I can't even let her talk for 5 minutes. So she's beating herself up. And just, oh my gosh, how am I going to make this up to her? And then I pop back up and I go, and, blah, 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 and I start talking again. And so he comes from a long line of talkers. It's not his fault, but we have to get him to curb that while he's in class.
Oh, yeah. And he did that exact same thing the other night. Sometimes it's really bad. And
yeah. I actually thought about it that night. That's why it was so fresh in my mind.
A couple nights ago, I came home from work, and as soon as I opened the door, he was...
It was last night, honey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And just...
Yeah. He adores you. He just lights up when you come home.
And, yeah, I was just really tired, and I had...
2 hours to work, full day of work, 2 hours home.
Just gotten off of driving for 2 hours.
And you just looked so exhausted, and he was following you around. And then you went in the bathroom, you came out, he was waiting there for you. He was just following you around.
Yeah, and I felt bad, because...
You needed some quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I told you what I thought that it was, is that he gets up, he goes to school, he comes home, he does a chore or two, mm-hmm. and then he works on his homework, and then I work on his homework with him. Mm-hmm. So it's like 6 o'clock at night before he gets to put his feet up. And then, you know, I'm cooking dinner and I'm paying bills and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And then you come in and it's like, yay, my buddy's home. So it's just like, you know, another chapter in the book of the day where it's the fun chapter now because Chooch's home.
Yeah.
So, and, but he does need to give you a little.
Well, it happens sometimes. It happens off and on.
Yeah.
It happens a lot more when he's grounded.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have any distractions.
Yeah. He's definitely...
And he's been grounded for a while now.
Yeah. Since before Christmas.
So no television.
Yeah. No, unless he earns a special reward.
Right. No computer time. No instant messaging with his buddies.
No console video games.
Right.
It's reading and drawing, so, and that's it.
Now he wants to play a lot of board games, and he wants to talk a lot.
A lot. Which, in 2 years, we'll be begging him to talk.
Right, yeah.
So, we need to remember to ground him every once in a while. We need to catch him doing something or invent something that we can pin on him as a justification for restriction and keep him talking. So, yeah, that's been, yeah, a lot more time. But, you know, it's part of parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And then this week we've been trying to, we thought that we were going to be hosting a party that we're not going to be hosting.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been working towards that by rearranging things and trying to get better organized, which is something I wanted to do anyways, because of just trying to get things as organized as possible before I do find permanent work.
Yeah.
And also getting ready for LT's birthday, because we've got house guests that are driving here tonight. Biscuit and Kath are on the road, and they're on their way, and they're going to stay until Sunday night. And our nephews, well, we've got lunch tomorrow with friends. Then tomorrow afternoon, the nephews come over, and then they're spending the rest of the weekend. They're off Monday and Tuesday. We're having the family party Monday evening, and the first time we're going to be able to take a breath is going to be Tuesday, and it's Friday night. So brace yourself, Effie. Like
the weekend's already over.
Yeah.
The 4-day weekend's so already over.
Yeah. It's going to be so fun. And then I already told LT that we're going to sit and watch. We're actually going to watch the inauguration. I want to watch it live. I want to DVR it, but I also want to watch it live as things unfold. I think that is... You know, it's not just an inauguration that he's old enough to really remember, but it is a pretty important one. Yeah. And so I think it's important that we, you know, kind of schedule around that as much as we can. But it's going to be hectic. And his actual birthday is on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we have tentative plans to go to the Sigler book signing on Wednesday night in
Sigler Stank
Fairfax.
Tour.
Yeah, I have... Yeah. I have my druthers, guys, taking him to a book signing where he won't be able to listen to the reading. Think about that. I would not let him read a Scott Sigler book, nor listen to a podcast, nor read any of the missives that come from Sigler headquarters.
Yeah.
So I don't even know what I'm going to do with him while he's doing the reading. And then, you know, I don't know. We got to figure it out. So... Yeah. Anyways, but we've got a stack of books to get signed. The ones that we bought, and then a friend of ours sent, a friend of ours from Florida sent his to get signed too. So you're at least going to get them signed. And so I don't know what we're going to do. We'll tell you about it next time we record what we ended up doing.
Yeah.
And in the midst of this, I got a tentative job offer.
Yeah.
I haven't even tweeted this. This is like a news flash. I've been afraid to jinx it.
Exclusive, an ITB exclusive.
I know. I've been afraid to tweet about it and jinx it, but I've actually gotten paperwork, security clearance. It's for that job that I was talking about before where I will have no cell phone, no iPod, no electronic storage devices at all. No CDs, no pen drives, nothing. And so that's the job I got.
Most likely clamped down, locked down
internet. Oh, I'm sure. You know what? Even if it's not, I'm not going to Twitter. I need, you know, I got to focus on this job, especially, you know how jobs are in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
And it's in kind of like a legal office, and I've never worked in a law office before, so I really got to be on the ball. And so, yeah, I've got a tentative job offer.
Yeah, but it's a government law office. They're not like real lawyers.
Oh, great. You know, as part of my tentative offer, I have to do security clearance.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to do a background investigation, and I have to give aliases.
Oops.
And, yeah, redact, redact, redact. I also have to take a drug screening, which I've never had to take.
Huh.
Obviously, it's not an issue unless caffeine is a problem. Because,
right.
Boy, the caffeine intake has gone through the roof lately. But so I have to go through all that before they'll give me a firm, permanent, mm-hmm. not firm, but, you know, a real job offer.
Yeah. I had to do drug testing for one job.
Did you?
But ironically, not for my government job.
No. And that's the thing. I've got over 9 years working for the federal government. Uh-huh. I've never had to take a drug test.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like excited to do it because, hey, I'm clean. I don't even have nicotine in my system.
Right.
It's all caffeine, baby.
Caffeine and Splenda.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh. Made from sugar.
I'm like 75% Splenda this time. So I'm not concerned about either thing because I don't have a criminal record or anything. I'm sure it'll go through. But, of course, I'm still worried because yeah. it's what I do. But it's further away than I want to be. But it's more money than I could ever make in our little town. So yeah. I kind of have to do it because Em's going off to college some way, somehow, some form. He's going off to college next year. Even if he's here, it's still going to be an added expense.
Mm-hmm.
So we need more money because... You know, if he comes out on time, we got 1 year before the next one goes through.
Right.
We don't have, and then LT and Jay could potentially be in school at the same time, God willing, and they both go to college. They'll be in school at the same time.
Wow.
So we don't have any time to play around. I need a job now. So I'm going to take it, you know.
Yeah.
Got to. We got stuff to do. And of course... Tuesday was 3 year anniversary of Mom passing away.
Yeah.
Which is very sad. And I kind of burrowed in and hid out. And the very, very sweet Heather was so cute. Mark called me. He doesn't spend as much time on Twitter as he used to.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess Heather told him. And so Mark actually called to see how I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Heather called later on that night and we talked and it was just very, very sweet. And you actually worked from home that day
mm-hmm.
so that we could go up. You didn't get to go last year. Last year you were on a business trip.
Yeah.
So it was important to you to go this year, which we did. We went up and took her flowers. And I cried like a baby, an angry, angry baby. And, you know, that's kind of just how it is. That's life. Yeah. And then we had dinner. We had dessert first. I didn't have time to bake a cake like I'd planned, but I bought a cake and we had dessert first.
Yep.
As is our tradition in honor of my mother.
Yep.
And I think we just had some sandwiches or something after that.
Yeah.
Because the dinner is never the focus. It's always the dessert.
It's always the dessert.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I had some well wishes from some friends that were really sweet. So I appreciate all of that because it took every little bit of it to get me through that day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Mom's Angel Day. And then you and I were actually talking earlier today about all the projects that we've talked about doing. We've got some mm-hmm. stuff that we're dying to do.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's stuff that I want to do on my own. And of course, there's stuff that you want to do on your own.
Yeah.
So did you want to talk about that at all?
Yeah. Well, I took the geeky approach.
Guys, this is... really geeky. I was just, he got mad because I started laughing halfway through. It's impressive in its mastery of geekiness. Go ahead, babes.
Well, I've come to discover that I really like making lists.
Uh-huh. I love lists. And squeaking the chair.
There's something really comforting about making lists.
Yeah.
So I started making a list of all of the projects that I currently work on. Like podcasting.
Yeah.
And all of the projects that I really want to be starting.
Mm-hmm.
And then I added in things like working and sleeping and mm-hmm. other things that I do.
Time suck. Yes.
And so I made this list of stuff and I put in an approximation of the amount of time it takes per week.
Right.
To accomplish each of those things. And I actually put it as how many hours of prime time does it take? Which
right.
means like basically me time.
Yeah.
Non-work time. And then I had a total of how many hours it would take.
Mm-hmm.
And then a total of how many me hours there are in a week.
Mm-hmm.
And the deficit was something like 25 hours.
Oh, gosh.
So I'd either have to work half as much Or we need to add a couple hours to the day.
I have a problem with that.
I mean, I think we need to add a couple days to the week.
Oh, gotcha.
And they're going to have to be weekend days.
Right. Of course, non-work days.
And so
I appreciate that more than you working less. I'm all about adding more days to the week.
And so I had another column for each of these items that was on a scale from 0 to 100. How important is this to me?
Right.
And then another column. How important is this to those around me?
And I like how you explained this concept to me earlier. Like home improvement, which right. I don't care about, but I know it's important to you. I love that I got my own column.
And it's not that I don't or care just, about it.
Right.
Oh, it's honey. Still got like a 20.
Out of 100.
Yeah.
Oh, please, honey.
I care about it.
You care. You just don't want to. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
I just don't care that much.
No. Oy. I think it's the female nesting thing. I want to make things as nice as possible for us. And you're just trying to get from, you know, the couch to the refrigerator without tripping over anything or anything falling off.
And then I add those in. Yeah. So that's like, you know, the score of
importance.
The desired score. Mm-hmm. And then I took the score of each project was what's the correlation between how important it is to how much time it takes to do. So that ended up being the cost.
Right.
This is like, you know, the cost per hour of doing this thing. And I realized, okay, work got a perfect score, basically, because it's the number one importance to me, and it's number one importance to the people in my life because we need to pay the mortgage and eat. But it takes so much time that it had a pretty crappy score.
Go figure.
So I created a necessity multiplier.
You should have been like a statistician or something, honey, because you're talking about opportunity costs and all that kind of stuff and accounting terms. And
so the necessity multiplier made work in the top like three things that I really need to do.
And I'm so grateful for that multiplier.
Did sleep.
Right, yes. And you need to work on that. Actually, you're not getting enough, but continue.
And then so I ended up with, I think overall I had like 19 things that I really want to do and that I currently do.
Right.
And like I said, there was 25 hours of time that I don't have a week.
Yeah.
So when I sorted through and actually did come out to just in my gut of what I knew I couldn't do realistically.
Yeah. Not right now anyway.
Yeah. So those items were under the line.
Right.
And they're going to get shoved to the back burner and I'm not going to worry about them.
And of course, I fell into that back burner. So this is our announcement that he's splitting up with me and has decided to pursue his other. I'm just kidding.
No. So podcasting is above the line.
Yay. Oh, wait. It better be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I can.
It's important to me. It's important to you. And so, yeah. Of course.
I can have co-hosts.
Of course, the show is very important to us.
Yeah.
It was not going to get cut. But there's other podcast projects that I've been wanting to start.
Yeah.
There's some programming things I've been wanting to do. And I've never fully learned a programming language. I can do a lot of scripting stuff. I mean, you know, I'm a geeky guy and I work in a technical field and I do a lot of server admin stuff. So I can do a lot of scripty stuff, but I've never really understood, or not understood, but I mean, I've just never really gotten that deep into programming.
Yeah.
Other than like, you know, basic when I was younger. But even though it's something I've always wanted to get more into, I just, it's not important enough to me.
Right.
To want to spend the time on
it. To push other things away.
Yeah, a lot more things I want to spend more time on.
Yeah. So what's the thing that's left on the list that you're most excited about that you want to talk about? Or is there anything that you want to talk about?
Well, one thing was as an early Christmas present, my brother had gotten this mixing board. Really cool mixing board. on. He's been a musician his whole life. He's played guitar and written songs and sings, and he's not a techie at all. Does not work with computers, does not work with electronics. He's always been the guy playing the music. And so his wife got him this really, really killer mixing board with a built-in CD burner. Mm. And it has an internal drive that it records everything to. So it's a digital recorder slash mixing board. So he can lay tracks and lay multiple tracks and singing and all this stuff and mix it down onto a, directly onto a CD. And he discovered that I can record bass lines, drum tracks, all that kind of stuff. And I can burn it on a CD, mail it to him, and he knows how to import it into this board. Mm. So he can hear what I'm playing, and then he can lay guitar tracks on top of it, and he can sing on top of it, and he can mail it back. And then so we can collaborate across the country and write songs.
Yeah, in better quality than what you're able to do over the internet.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about that.
Mm-hmm. That's an amazing... Wow, it's so cool.
Yeah.
The possibilities that are open to us nowadays are just sick. I mean, sick.
Yeah. That's going to be fun. And a couple other podcasting things. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about a new project.
Yeah. To feed our artistic side. More to come.
Yes.
We got a lot to figure out on that one. I haven't even started thinking about what my goals for the year are. I know I have a 1,000-mile goal again.
Mm-hmm.
And my problem is that to meet that goal, I have to do the stationary bike.
Right.
And so I've been doing that, and I went for a run Wednesday, and it was very cold, and I had trouble when I first started running. My knees didn't like it, and I think it's because I've been doing the stationary bike.
Mm-hmm.
So I got my knees kind of worked out, and I hadn't run since the resolution run at the beginning of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only running I had done in the 2 or 3 weeks before that. So my body wasn't ready for a whole full-on run, and I knew it wasn't going to be. I just wanted to get out there.
Mm.
And it was like 20 degrees again, wind blowing. Are you seeing a theme here? And I actually ended up overdoing it, and my legs are just screaming at me now. And so I've got to figure it out, because right now it's really too cold for me to be out running. But I've got another goal where it's to run the 12 local races that are done every year. And the next one is in 3 weeks. So I really need, I want to do better, a little better at each race.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just a minute, I'm going to be happy. To do that, I need to get out and run, and it's so cold I can't bear it.
Oh, yeah.
So I either do the stationary bike to keep moving, which messes up my knees for running, blowing my goal for doing the races. I don't know what to do.
Mm.
So I can't even figure that part out. I can't think about any other goals and multipliers and weighted. Oh, my gosh. So I think that's why I was laughing. It's like, dude, I can't even come up with a list at this point. Dude.
I can let you borrow my spreadsheet, and all the formulas are already there.
All right.
Just fill in your scores.
Yeah, I might not be the only one that wants it after this. But yeah, we've got so much that we want to do. It's just, I'm choking on it. So I do need to sort out some priorities, because I've got like 10 different things that I've half started. Forget getting half done. I've half started like 10 different things. The biggie, I think, is the scanning project.
Mm-hmm.
I went to start scanning. Chooch moved the scanner over to my side of the office so that I could start scanning, and scanner fail. It's streaking all the scans, and so that doesn't work. And so we need another scanner, which is a whole other project, researching to find a good professional grade photography photo archiving, not just one that's scanning documents, something that's going to last us for more than 20 scans, which is probably all we really got out of the other one. Maybe 100. I'm exaggerating, minimizing. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole nother project, just to find the right scanner so I can get it and start scanning.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's overwhelming sometimes. You just got to remember one foot in front of the other. That's all you can do. So we're a mess. But it's getting late and we need to go so that we can check on LT.
Yeah.
And M and see what kind of damage they're doing to the house that I've been spending all day cleaning. So I think at this point we ought to probably just say night nights.
Yeah. That's the thing to do.
Yep.
Yep.
True story.
Name that show.
Oh, everybody will be able to name it. It's not obscure at all. So everybody take care. If you have any questions or comments or anything like that, you can give us a call and leave us a voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
What's the number, babe? It's
413-669-4720.
What else can they do?
They can send us an email to endoftheblender@gmail.com, or they can leave comments on the website at endoftheblender.com.
Exactly. And if you're following us on Twitter, send us an at and let us know that you're listeners, because I get a lot of followers and I don't ever know if they're just random spam followers or if they're listeners. So I don't always follow people back. So if you're a listener, I'll follow you back.
I go through another little algorithm that
you
send me a follow. And like, if you're following 6,000 people,
well, yeah,
and you've only got 2 followers
and no tweets,
and no updates, then I'm going to block you.
Right. But there are people that are out there that are tweeting and they have a reasonable number of followers. It's obviously not a spam follower, but
then I automatically follow them back.
Yeah. So boy, that's going to get crazy when I've got 8 or 9 hours worth of Twitter that I can't check during the workday. If I get that job, I might have to comb my list a little. But at me if you're a listener. That way I don't chop you out or whatever. Unfollow you or whatever. So everybody take care and have a wonderful, I don't know, when you're listening to this, week, weekend. Have a great time, whatever you're doing, whenever it is. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Chuchu Viv, this is Nobilis. I was just listening to your podcast about, and I was thinking that, you know, while I liked it when you were talking about, and, but really, I really think you ought to stay away from the, I mean, think of the, thanks, bye.
Thanks for listening to End of the Blender.
You can find information, comment on episodes, and subscribe to the podcast at intotheblender.com.
You can send us email to feedback@intotheblender.com.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives 3.0 license.
You are free to make copies and share this podcast to your heart's content.
Just not modify or make money from it.
Favorite shows.
We're going to have a TV party tonight. All right. We're gonna have a TV party. Out of sight. Don't talk about anything else. We don't wanna know. We're just dedicated to our favorite shows. I had to get that out. Oh, that song.
It's like the whole Cartman Sticks thing. He'd say a line, he's gotta finish it. I'm waiting.
Damn it. I don't know why it is, and it's probably the only song that does that to me, but you cannot interrupt Henry Rollins. I'm sorry. It's just wrong. He must finish. Well, I'm not wrong. But you had to go to the gutter. The look on your face, you went straight to the gutter. At the exact same moment that I did.